So welcome to this webinar. This is Marketing Planning 2023 and I'm Neil Wilkins. What I'm going to do in this session is to talk you through, hopefully step by step in a language that you'll understand, some of the key issues, some of the key trends and some of the key opportunities that are presenting themselves to marketers for 2023. I'm going to take you through a step-by-step process for creating and evolving a marketing plan. This is predominantly for marketing communications, so if you're looking for something really in-depth in terms of new product development or any other kind of features of marketing, then those would be an additional session. So we're looking predominantly here as we go through this session at marketing communications. So if you thought that planning marketing and events and product launches, campaigns and all the kind of digital and social activity that you've been doing is the same every year, well, I can tell you now, you couldn't be more wrong. Marketing plans for next year in 2023 have more opportunity to gain growth, engagement and successful outcomes than ever before. But they at the same time risk being out of touch. Now, this is an interesting one for me because having spent 35 years in marketing, I have enjoyed, I guess you could say, many, many different trends and opportunities and challenges where we've had to go to a plan B. But I have to say that this is almost now the perfect storm for 2023. There are more changes, more challenges, more opportunities to consider than probably I've experienced in 35 years in marketing. So I'm going to explain what those might be. And you can then, for your organization, for your business, you can then choose which ones are most applicable and relevant to you. So there is no one size fits all here. I can give you a framework. I can share with you some of the trends and opportunities, but it's down to you to really decide what's most important and what you'd like to factor into your plans for next year. So I'm going to identify some key macro trends that will directly influence your marketing choices and priorities for next year, and hopefully help you to remove any blinkers that your competitors may still be wearing. So next year is not going to be what we might term business as usual. I hear a lot of people talking about, oh, when we return to normal. But of course, there is no such thing as normal. So this is really accepting that change is part of the marketing game now. It's part of the marketing mix. And I'll explain some of the things that you're going to need to consider for actually bringing this marketing plan to life as you go through into next year. So let's get into the detail. So key macro trends, what are the things that are going on right here, right now that are going to shape your marketing for next year? Now I'm going to break this down into what we call PESTL, which is political, economic, social, technological, legal and environmental. And I'm going to take each one of these in turn. We're going to start with the first one, which is political. Now, we all know that there are a variety of different things happening in the world right now, both locally but also further afield. And all of these have, to a greater or lesser extent, an impact on us. And this is typically what we find when we look at a macro trend. It is something that can indirectly affect us, but we can't really do anything about it. But let's make no sort of odds here. It will affect us in some way, shape or form. So there is a big international conflict happening right now. There are tensions politically between certain governments and certain countries. There are things like import and export tariffs. And what we need to do as marketers is to just pay attention, just to keep an eye on the media, not become obsessed with it, not feel that it's going to really alter our plans, but it might influence and it might require us to fine-tune things. So just by keeping our eye on the political environment out there right now is a really, really solid and good idea of things to do. So economic, the second of PESTL. Well, we are in the UK looking to move into what is being defined as a period of austerity. We're moving into a recession, but that is to me a sort of economists and a media phrase. For a lot of people in a lot of businesses and organisations, you know, it is just a bigger sort of macro word that is used. And actually, there are lots of opportunities to still grow, lots of opportunities based on which sector you're in, to see opportunity to, you know, make inroads, to grow your brand, to create revenues, to give great customer experience. So just because the word recession is used, we shouldn't lose all hope. Okay, there's always hope. There are winners and losers in any kind of economic turmoil, and we know that is happening at the moment. But really, what we want to try and do is create an environment around our organization and within it that allows us to see opportunity rather than just threat all the time. Now, we know that the cost of living for consumers, because for a lot of us, we are those consumers, is a real challenge right now. So, salaries and remuneration is not tracking at the same rate as the increased costs of living a normal life. So, consumer confidence generally is taking a little bit of a hit. As we move towards Christmas and the inevitable end of year or start of year sales, in a consumer kind of retail environment, then we're going to see a lot of trends here, I think, that will show a very clear sign of slowdown. Now, that doesn't mean that it's all bad. It doesn't mean that you can't still do great business. But just because consumer confidence drops does not necessarily mean that we all have to batten down the hatches and decide not to do anything. There is still room for us to do good stuff. Now, for me, I would then look instantly into the next part of the macro trends, which is social. There's a lot of stuff happening here. There's a lot of, I guess, unrest socially right now. There's a lot of people talking for all the right reasons about diversity, about inclusion. There's a whole range of different debates going on. For us as brand owners and as marketers, we just need to make sure we are sensitive, if you like, to our target audiences. Now, I'll just use that word sensitive because, again, there's no one size fits all. So it's really important to just remember to be listening, actively listening, and then responding through our marketing next year with sensitivity, with transparency, with honesty. Really, really paying attention, if you like, to the little nuances and the tone of voice that's appropriate. So, looking at our market and thinking, okay, what is appropriate in the way that we communicate right here, right now? Micro influencers are going to become even more significant as we go into 2023. You know, we've all become very aware of influencers and influencer marketing, but micro influencers that are very, very specific to your communities that you're targeting, the demographics of your personas that you're after, for either getting as new customers or for serving existing customers. The influencers within their circles are the key ones for 2023. So, micro influencers. So be thinking about who are the bloggers, the vloggers, who are the thought leaders, who are the media within my sectors that I'm looking to target, who I need to get on board. Micro influence, really, really key for next year. Hybrid working, one of those things that is definitely this side of pandemic is not going to go away. Most organizations now are doing some form of hybrid working. And if your consumer or your customer is having now a blend of different working spaces, does that mean now they're more mobile? And in which case, if they are more mobile, how and when are you likely to get best engagement on a certain day of the week or a certain hour of the day? Figuring out how your target customer is moving around in their working life is key in 2023. And that, of course, then has a knock-on effect to their buying patterns. You know, we know that consumer buying patterns over the last couple of years have gone predominantly to the digital space, but that is seeing some sort of bounce back in certain sectors. So really, really listening, doing your research, understanding and actually asking what do your customers truly want, and then watching their buying patterns. And do those buying patterns reflect the research? So not just taking one feed of information, but actually taking a host of different feeds and really, truly listening and then evaluating what you see is going to become ever important. And that leads us seamlessly into technology, the next one in our pestle macro trends that are going to feed into our marketing plan for next year. Big new kid on the block is the metaverse. If you think metaverse is 2 to 3 to 5 years out, it's not. It's here in 2023. The question is, are you willing to learn? Are you willing to step into that space and test and play and experiment? Because there are opportunities already. A lot of big brands now are investing heavily into the metaverse. It's not a question really for you as to is it going to be relevant? It's when is it going to be relevant? So get in, have a look at the metaverse and play to your heart's content with the technology, but also the social interactions that are possible. Does that open up new opportunities? Another big one that has been around for quite some years now, but is going to really, according to the researchers, is going to really take effect in 2023 is big data. So knowing where your data holdings are, knowing your CRM systems, your customer relationship management, really using data to feed into your user or customer experience to serve your customers in terms of adding value to the relationships you're building. Using data to do that is going to be big in 2023, as is the Internet of Things. We've seen this promise now for a number of years, but as 5G rollout happens and a lot more devices, both in the home and at work and out in the real world, are seeing connectivity, the Internet of Things opens up a host of opportunities, as does voice search. I've been talking about this one for many years. 2023, it seems by all the research and all the trends, is it's going to arrive big time. So are you optimizing your data and your content to serve just the internet searches, or are you looking at voice search as well? Because if you're not, your customers might be. So think about SEO in terms of voice search, as well as doing your normal search engine optimization. The legal side, the L in PESTEL in our macro trends for 2023. Greenwashing, big, big, big one. There's going to be some legislation and in certain sectors, regulation around the authenticity of claims made by sustainable marketers. So if you are looking to tell a story with your sustainable marketing, get ahead of the game. Make sure you're avoiding anything that could be interpreted in an incorrect way. Make sure you back up everything that you claim with evidence, tangible, measurable, objective evidence, and then you won't fall foul of any greenwashing legislation that comes through. Another big change we're going to see in the middle of next year is the loss of third-party cookies. So advertising as we've known it, typically programmatic advertising, but a lot of the social media and pay-per-click advertising that is using third-party cookies, that will no longer be available to you as a marketer. So first-party data is going to be the name of the game. So actually collecting relevant and appropriate, of course, within GDPR restrictions, but collecting relevant first-party data. So really collecting the relevant data from your customers that's going to allow you to serve them with more and more value. That is the name of the game in 2023. And so as we move to things like Google Analytics or Universal Analytics, sort of takes its part or takes away now to Google Analytics 4, which is a whole new way of looking at your website analytics, you need to be really understanding the differences between first-party data and third-party data, because now it's all about your data holding. You can't rely on Facebook's holding or Google data or cookies going forward. So really understand what this first-party data implication will have for you. Also, we're going to see a significant rocking of the boat in terms of freedom of speech. We've already seen that in the back end of 2022 with a lot of changes, mostly instigated by Elon Musk at Twitter, in terms of freedom of speech. And my prediction for next year is that we're going to see a lot more of that coming across all of these social networks, where there will be changes afoot to the things that you can say, the subjects that are going to be more taboo, but also just making sure that your content strategies are appropriate for your audiences. That is going to be key. And of course, the big one, the one that everybody is talking about now, on this side of COP27, is the environment. So sustainability is going to find its way into the full marketing mix for the first time ever. So get yourself carbon literate. Carbon literacy is going to be key for marketers. If you're not, let me know and I can help you with that, as can Cambridge Marketing College. We have a number of programs that will be available in 2023 to enable that for you. So just let me know if you want more details of that. Connect with me at Neil Wilkins X on social. and also stakeholder expectations around your environmental and your carbon and your green and your sustainable credentials will become ever more important. And by stakeholders, I mean everybody who's got a vested interest in how your organization performs. So your suppliers, your customers, your investors, your staff, everybody will be starting now to take really seriously your environmental credentials. So as a marketer, you need to be able to back these up with evidence. So it's really exciting times. There's a lot going on, but it is now time to literally take each of these trends one by one and really consider how you are going to respond to them proactively within your marketing plan for next year. Now, of course, this is going to be related to a deep understanding of your competitive market position. Okay, so where are you in your marketplace? And do you see next year as you build your marketing plan as a potential move into a different positioning? I mean, if you're the market leader, are you able and are you willing to do what's necessary to retain that position? If you're the challenger, by definition, is the time right now to make a really big bid for that market leadership position? If you're a market follower, is that still okay? Or do you wish to really step up your game and move into a challenger position? Or maybe take the fourth option of market positioning, which is niching. A lot of followers in marketplaces right now are moving to a niche position because it's highly cost effective and it can be super, super cool for actually providing smart value to your customers. So there's an opportunity for you to do that if that feels appropriate right now. But knowing your market position in 2023, or at least your desired move, if it is, to a new position, is critical in how you shape up the essence, really, of your plan. So do you see, and this is a big question really to ask for 2023, and this is something you'll probably have to take counsel across the organisation from your senior management team to your colleagues and peers, maybe in other departments. Do you see your organisation as growing or consolidating your position next year? Now that's key. That the answer to that question is really, really key. And I would say probably over the last 10 years, you've kind of been able to get away with not really answering that question and just kind of putting some targets in and seeing what happens. To me, I think next year we all have to be absolutely clear. Are we seeking growth or is consolidation our target? Because that will give us a very clear view over our SMART goals that I'm going to talk about in just a moment. Now, it's interesting because you do have an opportunity here. If you wish to see growth, but you think, well, I'm in a commodity marketplace, you know, there's a lot of price sensitivity. Our consumers and our customers, they're not really willing to pay us anymore. So how are we going to grow? Well, there's a lot of research out there that say that if you are willing to really invest in your social commitment, 66% of consumers are willing to pay more for goods from brands that demonstrate social commitment than others that don't. So there's an opportunity here that if you really go down the sustainable marketing route, rather than even worrying about investment in new products and services and, you know, trying to outbeat the competition, if you focus on a sustainable marketing essence, really, within your marketing plan, customers are willing to pay more for the fact that you do that. But again, as I said earlier, you do need to back that up with evidence. But a clear position, growth or consolidation for next year is really, really important. And particularly important when you come to build your SWOT analysis. Now, I always say, because everybody always puts SWOT analysis into their marketing plan, and it's a nice way, actually, of just taking stock of kind of where you are right now. And it is something that's very easy to consume by others in the organization. So it probably should be in there, and it's there for a good reason. What I would say is that in your SWOT analysis is be really, really honest. So the strengths and the weaknesses, don't just view those from an internal perspective. A lot of the time when we see the instructions or the definitions for how to do a SWOT analysis, the strengths and weaknesses is typically an internal thing. I would say now, in these current conditions and the climate that we're working in, the strengths are relative to the competition and relative to the market. The weaknesses are relative to the things that, you know, you'd like to be improving on, really. So there's an external context around your strengths and weaknesses. You can't do these now, in my view, in isolation. So think about your strengths versus the competitors, your weaknesses versus your competitors and the market opportunity. And then when you look at the opportunities and threats, so the real outward view, then you can be starting to hopefully turn the opportunities into strengths and maybe turn some of those threats into opportunities by some really smart planning and some smart prioritization of what it is you want to do. And where to prioritize? Well, for a lot of us, we are going to be evolving from our performance in 2022. So knowing deeply how you've performed and again, how your brand is really doing. Please, please do not fall into the trap of just making assumptions. Deeply evaluate. So really turn the information, the data, the insights into intelligence. In other words, have an honest conversation with yourself and with others in your organization about actually how you're really doing. And make sure that all of your insight evaluation is based on evidence. All of those kind of comments of, oh, we're doing okay, yeah, it's not too bad, and those kind of really sort of subjective views, if you like, are not strong enough as we go into 2023. You need to be basing your decisions in terms of any growth or consolidation on a solid, solid baseline. So make sure the insights are fully evaluated. In other words, turning the numbers and the data into meaningful decision-making intelligence. So interpret what you see and really go deep in it. Really keep asking the question, what does this mean? And why are we seeing that? And what does this mean? And really go deep. The deeper you can go, the stronger the baseline that you'll be forming, ready to create your SMART goals for 2023. Now, what I would say, depending on the orientation of your organization, if you're very product-centric, if you're very sales-driven, for example, there is a danger that you can get swept along being, as a marketer, subservient to those orientations and the culture of your organization. What I'd say is you've got an opportunity here in 2023 for doing that, because it's important. That is the way your organization is oriented. So the structure, the processes, the way that you communicate internally will reflect the orientation your organization has. But that is not all. For me in 2023, I would like you to really, really drill down deeply on the objective goals and subjective. So what do I mean by that? Well, objective goals are going to be things like the sales, the revenue, and the customer targets, and make them SMART. So these objective goals are the numbers. So the things that you're going to be reporting back on, probably working with finance team around, you're going to be working with sales, etc., etc. So those are the numbers. But as a marketer, I think as well, it's really important in this coming year that we remember we are also responsible for the more subjective SMART goals. Things like brand awareness, not just that woolly, oh, it's brand awareness. No, what I'm talking about here is actually setting some SMART goals around brand awareness. Spontaneous recall of your brand. How many people mention your brand when they think of a product or service similar to what you offer? How many people can spontaneously remember who you are and why you do what you do? Customer satisfaction. Not just saying, yeah, our customers are pretty happy. And look, got a few little quotes here. Or, yeah, you know, we've got a few reviews on our website. Not that. Deep understanding of customer satisfaction. Things like net promoter score, where you've got a measurable number against your customer satisfaction index. So you can then set a SMART goal to potentially improve that next year. So this balance between objective and subjective will make your marketing plan much more well-rounded. So it won't just be subservient to somebody else's agenda. It will also protect the brand for the medium to longer term. And to me, that's really important. Most of us, and I put myself in this category too with some of the clients I'm working with, are really feeling drawn to our tactical aims. So our plans typically have a one-year window. In other words, we're just planning for next year, survival, getting through, just being here by the end of the year, just, you know, making it out the other side. I think a lot of marketers are now facing that down, and they really are just really focusing on those tactical goals. Now, the danger with that, of course, is it can take you down a dead-end route. It can take you down a no-through road. It can misalign really where strategically you could also be pointing. So I'm not saying don't have tactical aims. I'm saying, on the one hand, have tactical aims for this one-year window, but also be thinking, well, okay, strategically, though, where is this taking us? What is our three-year window? And then even beyond that, what is our overall purpose as an organization? What is our vision into the future, 5 years plus? Now, for most of us, we can't really think in our planning at the moment, much beyond a 3 year window. That kind of seems to be about the visible horizon. But if you could look at your deeper purpose, look at the vision of the organization, where it's looking to go in the longer term, in an ideal world, with a fair wind, with all the available resources aligning with you. Where is it you'd want to be headed? Because that's your North Star. Really, that is where you need to be aligning your tactical aims. Because if those are completely out of kilter where your strategic goals are pointing, then you've got some work to do to bring them back into alignment. So really, your tactical aims, your 1 year window should be supporting and supportive over the first of the 3 years towards your strategic aims. In other words, at the end of 2023, you should be 1 year into achieving your strategic aims. That would be an ideal scenario. And if you can start to, if this isn't already the case within your organization, start to really introduce this thinking a little bit more longer term, because that will protect you and ensure that you have a sustainable business going forward. So let's look at this thing about sustainability, because I'm going to be talking now over the next few moments about a sustainable marketing mix. Okay, now this is something, if you're interested in knowing more about this and exploring this, if you go to mindfulcollective.net, which, if you know me, you'll know that I've been evangelizing this over some time, is a redefinition of the marketing mix. So rather than product, place, price, promotion, we're looking at product, people, process, and profit. And how does that shape up? Well, with product, and there are three elements to product, it is the creation of value, strategic value through your products and services. And this means that you're doing the correct research and analysis. So you put that into your marketing plan. Innovation and creation, having some statements around that. Customer relationships, making sure that your customer relationships are as they need to be to provide and create the value. So actually doing things through collaboration, for example, co-creating the value by deeply listening to your customers. So there's a little checklist on the screen here, which hopefully will guide you if you go step by step through each of these statements or questions and think, okay, where are we now? Where do we want to be? And the same could apply for people. And I would say work your way through each of these three elements too. So when we think about people in the marketing mix, this is about stakeholder value. And this is where we consider things like leadership and culture within our organization, developing the talent through technical and professional skills, as well as personal development. And also really, really looking at our customers and the community around us. So leadership and culture comes at all levels. This isn't just senior management leading the organization. This is at every level, fostering a really positive workplace culture. Employee engagement comes into that, and that is the responsibility of everybody. So this is really peer-to-peer working. This is about collaboration, and this is about co-creating the value that I talked about before. And of course, this is all about building strong stakeholder relationships, constantly striving for the positive well-being of everybody who we come into contact with. And somebody used this particular word with me a couple of years ago, and this has really stuck with me. What a wholesome way to do business. Wholesome. I love that word. Thanks, Daniela, for reminding me of that one, because it's a really, really important word, the wholesome development of our business and our organization. And that comes into the third of the four P's that I'm promoting here to you, which is process. And this is the delivery of value, the delivery or the sustainable delivery of value through all systems and processes. And there's three things to consider in this part of the marketing mix. supply chain, making sure that we have an authentic, an ethical, and a sustainable supply chain. It's also sustainable delivery. So as we put products and services out into the marketplace through chosen channels, we're making sure that those channels and those processes are very efficient and as sustainable as possible. So there's a little checklist there for you to work through. And then also as we measure and take our metrics and our insights so that we can go on this journey of continuous improvement, it is all about efficiencies. So what kind of data, information, analytics, and metrics do we need to be collecting and interpreting and then reporting back into the organization and across other stakeholders so that we can show and demonstrate we're on a sustainable journey? Process is a really key one in this marketing mix. And the final one, which I would encourage you to factor into your plans for 2023, is profit. Yes, we can be a profitable organization, a profitable business, if we're ethical in the return of value and sustainable profit to the business. So this is about pricing based around the value that we have created, co-created, and given to all of our stakeholders. It's also about being really conscious of the cost and revenue within the products and services that we provide. So not just buying from anyone just because it's the cheapest, and then not just selling through anyone just because they happen to be the most profitable channels. They need to be the right channels, ethical and sustainable. Because of course, if we don't do these things, our ever well-informed customer will know, and then I think we can all predict and forecast what's going to happen then. So this is super important stuff now to really get a handle on. And if you really want to go great guns on the value return, be thinking and really paying attention to the circular economy. Circular business is really, really important. I don't have a huge amount of time in this particular session to go deep into this one, but it means that we're giving, the opportunity for kind of reinvestment back into the organization of all the good stuff that we're doing. It is about kind of repurposing and recycling and maybe thinking about subscription models rather than just allowing our customers to consume raw materials and consume products and services that is neither good for anybody's well-being and certainly not good for the planet. So there's a lot of new things to consider in that mix, but if you think about and break down and answer those questions in the areas of product, people, process, and profit, you'll be well set to go on to the journey in 2023. So lots of detail there, but I would encourage you to go to mindfulcollective.net for a breakdown and some models and some ways of really kind of testing out both where you are now, but also where you'd like to get to through next year. So the next element of our marketing plan for 2023 is our choice of channels. And of course, extending out this whole sustainable marketing view now is, I would say, because you've probably already plotted out your customer's journey or customer journeys, is the big question, which has come from Can Marketing Save the Planet podcast, is what does your customer journey look like in a net zero world? And to me, I would be answering that question to say, well, how could I make the customer's journey that I've been, building and choreographing over all these recent years, how could I make it more efficient? How could I make it more effective? How could I make it less steps, less consuming of stuff, but still enable me to build a really intimate relationship with my customer? And let's just make sure that I really understand the 80-20, the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule, because the simple fact is that 80% of your channel engagement comes from 20% of your selected channels. In other words, in your customer journey right now, there is a huge amount of wastage. Pareto principle will almost guarantee that is the case. So by looking again at your customer journey, and if you haven't plotted it, now is the time to do it and be really honest with the numbers and the data. If you can spot there's points in your customer journey where people literally don't go to that particular channel, or they don't use this particular app, or they don't go to those pages on the website, strip them back. Make this a minimalist year next year, really focusing on the stuff that works, the stuff that you can measure, and the stuff that adds value, because that is about prioritization and efficiency, and that's where your channel choices really come into play. as they also do for your content plan. Now, this is a really interesting quote from the author and consultant in marketing kind, Paul Skinner. And Paul says, it's making the necessary attractive, not the attractive necessary. Just think about that for a moment. It's making, this is marketing, definition of marketing for 2023, making the necessary attractive and not the attractive necessary. In other words, just because an influencer says buy this product, do we as consumers have to? Well, no, not if it's necessary. So it might be the most attractive thing, but is it our moral obligation as marketers to then not sell that product or service, but in fact actually sell and market the things that provide true value? So here we're probably looking at what the world needs, not just what the world feels and thinks and perceives that it wants. Subtle difference. And as we're building our content plan, being very careful to market the necessary, not the attractive, the question that purpose disruptors have come up with is, don't make me think. Don't make me think as we go through this. Just guide me effortlessly through the content chaos. Just guide me, build the relationship with me, add value with me, listen to me as a customer. Don't just force stuff into this noise, this real sort of cauldron of activity that we call our social media timeline or our email inbox or, you know, wherever it happens to be, the channels that you're using. They're too busy. They're too noisy. Don't make me think. Just help me, guide me. Provide that real value that now allows me as a customer to build the faith and the trust that you're doing the right thing by me, and I can see that you're an ethical, sustainable business, so I trust you. That's what we want our customers by the end of next year to feel and to think. And there's opportunities here for doing this through a whole range of new content choices here. You know, live streaming video content is a great way of doing these things. Audio and video podcasts. If you've already got a podcast, take it into the audio space as well, into the video space rather. A lot of people are doing audio podcasts. If you're not, there's a great opportunity here to build thought leadership. So consider an audio podcast. And if you're already doing that, consider video podcasting. You can get out a big message by publishing video content through your audio podcast on somewhere like Spotify. Others are available. Voice search SEO, I talked about that being a big trend. Think about how you can provide value as people search for the kind of things that you do. And think about voice search. How are people using devices to search by voice? You know, long gone is the day where it's solely the domain of text search. So think about how your target audience is now, you know, potentially interacting with you. And don't think it's all future stuff. There is a been a big resurgence in 2022 for email marketing. It is going to be going great guns in 2023, according to all the research. So don't forget that you can still get some really great value through using email within your marketing content plan. And as you come kind of full circle round to the end of, okay, well, that all sounds great, and I've got loads of stuff I can share there, Neil, and we're doing all this amazing stuff, and I've put it together in a plan. Don't forget the measurement and reporting. So make sure that you've got key performance indicators, and really listen to that phrase, key performance indicators for everything that you've set as a goal, an objective, or a target for next year. And the key performance indicators are not the measures themselves, they're indicators of how you're progressing towards achieving those measures. So if you set yourself some really audacious targets, the key performance indicators will give you maybe a red, amber, green indication of how you're progressing as you go through the year. And when you report those things back into the organization, do it in a balanced way. It isn't the vanity metrics. It's not the numbers. It's not the number of likes or website visits that's important. Use something like a balanced scorecard to give a holistic view of how you're doing and report back intelligence back into the business. In other words, don't just give them the numbers, maybe a quick little sort of, you know, glance at the numbers, but tell them what the numbers mean. So interpret the numbers and evaluate them and give value to help people make better decisions and continuously improve. And the key thing, lovely quote here from Rob Harrison Plaistow, is that information doesn't change behavior, emotion does. So really make sure that you're behind and passionate about this reporting. You know, marketers can do so much more in 2023. We've got the data. We know that there's big data and that we are responsible for it. There's customer relationships here that we can foster. Yes, sales might be out there on the road, you know, building the relationships, but we can hold the data and interpret it. So make sure you're really passionate about the progress that you're making. And this really comes kind of full circle about the thing that a lot of us miss, because a lot of us are targeted with communicating with the customer. But I'd say, yeah, in the same breath, let's focus also on internal communication priorities. Let's make sure that as we go into 2023 with our lovely, well-rounded marketing plan, that we're also focusing on things like resilience. It is going to be tough. Okay, we might need to change direction. Things are not going to go necessarily as we forecast and predict. So being resilient, being kind of, you know, really, really kind of, yeah, confident that you can get through this, you know, being really kind of diligent in everything that you do, being super professional, and just having hope really is at the core of resilience. Being agile is really important. You might need to respond more quickly than you probably would have done in the past. Being agile, fleet of foot, responding quickly, maybe having a plan B for pretty much everything that you do is a sensible thing to have in your back pocket. Being flexible as well. This is flexible in relationships. This is flexible in the ways of working. This is being just a good citizen within your organization. Working with honesty and encouraging others to do so. And you can certainly see the mirror effect once you start to be honest and authentic and really working from a place of love, not fear. There's a lot of commentary going on about this thing, and this is working with empathy. As soon as you start really demonstrating honesty, authenticity, empathy and love, you will get that return to you. It's very, very difficult, even for the most bullish person in your organization, to respond to you in a way that is really, you know, at odds with the way that you're being. If you're working with empathy, it just is the law of attraction. It just works. So be honest, authentic and transparent, and maybe even to the point of vulnerable. There's a huge, huge value in vulnerability. Professional vulnerability is not a weakness. It's a real sign of strength, because you're being honest, you're being authentic and true. Being in a state of continuous improvement and encouraging others to do it. This is going to be the year of taking calculated risks, not being fearful that, oh, it's all going to go wrong, because let's face it, nobody has been in 2023 before. Even the most seasoned professionals aren't really sure what's going to happen. So continuous improvement needs to be at the heart of everything that you do and discuss. And the only way that we can make all this work in our marketing plan for 2023, taking into account all these elements that I've been talking about, is by doing this with collaboration. So if you have only been doing stuff in a little ivory marketing tower, and now you're starting to think, oh, Neil, well, you're actually asking me to go out and talk to other stakeholders and maybe ask customers more than we've done before. And the answer is absolutely yes. In 2023, we cannot do any of this stuff alone. Yes, believe me, my preference would be to just crack on and do it my way. And I'm speaking really professionally there. It would be. But I know I have to collaborate, because this is the way in 2023. So focus as well as on your external marketing, on your internal communication priorities. And I would say these seven things: resilience, agility, flexibility, honesty, authenticity, continuous improvement and collaboration are at the heart of really successful internal communications and marketing for next year. So it's going to be an exciting year. This is really just the start. I hope I've given you some ideas and some ways of thinking about how to structure your plans. And if you're sat there thinking, well, that's all very well, Neil, but I'm not responsible for the marketing plan, you can still go through this process yourself and see what it is that maybe in your organization is missing, or maybe start to think of things that could be really useful to introduce or suggest or just have discussions. I'm going to be following this up in early 2023 with some seminars and webinars and some workshops that will look in much more detail at some of these elements, which are now really trending for marketers. So if you go across to marketingcollege.com/events, you can keep up to date about a couple of months in advance with all of the upcoming workshops and webinars that I'll be hosting. So I hope you'll join me next year as we go into what is probably going to be one of the most exciting, it won't be easy, but one of the most exciting years that probably marketing has ever known. And if we aren't connected and you want to keep in touch, and again, obviously ask any questions at all that might pop up as you go through this planning exercise, then please do connect with me at Neil Wilkins X. So I wish you happy planning, and I will see you in 2023 for the first of the 2023 upcoming webinars and events.